desert storm. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, His love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. My name is Joe Montone, your host. It is a pleasure and a privilege to be back here on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. My friends, our show this morning is dedicated to all of the men who will be ordained tomorrow at St. Mary's Cathedral in Trenton, New Jersey, in the diaconate. And it is a five-year journey for those men, and it is coming to a conclusion. And thanks be to God for the opportunity to serve in the church. And, you know, with the shortage of the priests throughout the country, it's really a real blessing to have the men step up to the plate and to be part of the whole process of serving within the church. So I just want to dedicate our show to them today and let you know that, you know, the men who are in this journey have given 5 years of their lives, and they are married men. They are dedicated to serving within the church. And for those of you out there who are thinking about the diaconate, if you need more information, please give us a call at 215-345-1570. Again, 215-345-1570. And, you know, we can give you more information on that. We'll also dedicate our show to my brother-in-law, Arturo Velarde, who passed away this week and who was 50 years old. And we just pray that God will bless our family, but also to bless Arturo to be in the arms of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we just thank you, Lord, for the many years that Arturo was within our family and all the blessings, graces, and gifts you've given him. We're grateful for those. And we just pray for peace within the family once again. Also, we had a visit to Mexico recently to pay respects for the loss of my brother-in-law in Mexico, and we had the chance to see the city of San Miguel, who was dedicated to St. Michael the Archangel, and it was just a tremendous opportunity to see the faith of the people that spread throughout the actual town there, and the church was magnificent. And so in honor of St. Michael the Archangel, I'd like to open up with a prayer this morning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection from the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke thee, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the divine power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the other evil spirits who prowl throughout the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. And Father God, we just thank you for this moment this morning, and we thank you for the opportunity to visit the city of San Miguel. And we pray for the people there and for the people in Mexico, because there is a lot of poverty there, a lot of children who are in need of support. And we just pray for your blessings, graces, and gifts to come their way through the intercession of good people. And we pray this through our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay. And today is May 14th, 2021. Yesterday was the truly the feast day of Our Lady of Fatima. And, you know, the Fatima story is very interesting. It took place on May 13, 1917, when Our Blessed Mother appeared to three shepherd children. and she came as Our Lady of the Rosary in Fatima, Portugal. The three children were Lucia dos Santos and her cousins Francisco and Jacinta Marto. And the Marian apparition site was approved on October 13, 1930. The published memoirs of Lucia dos Santos in the 1930s revealed two secrets that she claimed came from the Virgin Mary, while the third secret was to be revealed by the Catholic Church in 1960. And, you know, one of the great messages that our Blessed Mother brings through all of the apparition sites is truly to pray for peace within your own heart. And when we have peace within our own hearts, we can, you know, bring that peace to other people. And that's so important, my friends, because if you're living without peace, you may have something else. You may have fear, anxiety, depression, and those are tough things to be living with day in and day out, week in and week out. You know, many years ago, I had a cousin who was suffering from anxiety for many years, maybe 15 years, and I never knew it. But when she told me that, I just couldn't believe that someone would have anxiety, that nervousness, and the other things that come with it, sometimes fears and, a depression. And so it's important that we pray for peace and that we eliminate the anxiety, the fear, the depression, you know, and all of the other negative things that can impact our lives in a negative way, the negative people that we can have in our lives sometimes can bring those things on as well. So it's important that we put good people around us. We circle ourselves with good people who bring us the peace of God, the love of God, through the Word of God, which is so important. And but the messages of Mary are very great. And during the Fatima apparitions, you know, the three children, were not believed that they actually saw the Blessed Mother. And so, this is one of the things as human beings that we know that we need more proof. And, you know, Our Lady came to the children and finally produced that great miracle of the sun in Fatima, Portugal, for thousands of people. As, it appeared that the sun actually came closer to the earth and after a heavy rain dried up the land and right before their eyes. So it was a very powerful miracle. And, but the message is to pray the rosary, which is all about the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. Through Mary's eyes, you know, we see Jesus in a different way. We see him in his life, in his death, and in his resurrection, through the eyes of our Blessed Mother. And that's what the rosary is all about. It's truly a tremendous prayer. It's a lot of rote prayer, but in between are the sorrowful mysteries, the joyful mysteries, the glorious mysteries. And, this is important because when our Blessed Mother calls us to do something, it's not something that we want to put on the back burner and then maybe do it one day. Our Lady has been calling us for 800 years since she gave the rosary prayer to St. Dominic. And she's been calling us for 800 years to pray the rosary and to do it, you know, with great passion and zeal and enthusiasm, authenticity, which is so important because, again, all Our Lady does is bring us closer to Jesus, okay? And we honor our Blessed Mother Mary because she is the mother of Jesus. She is the mother of our Lord and Savior. She is the one who said yes to our Heavenly Father, and that's in Scripture, in the Gospel of Luke. Very powerful yes that gives us access to eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. So again, the Fatima celebration and miracle, remembering that is an incredible awareness that the rosary is important. As Our Lady came as Our Lady of the Rosary, you know. And so we want to, you know, incorporate the rosary prayer with the mysteries, those wonderful events that God gave us, to basically remember, to honor, and to reflect on in the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. And this is important, you know, the joyful mysteries in his life, the sorrowful mysteries in his death, and the glorious mysteries after his resurrection, which are very powerful. The 15 events that was given to St. Dominic many, many years ago in the year 1200. And so, anyway, I want to just again pray for you that God will bring you the peace that you need. And when you have that peace, my friends, you'll be a different person. You can bring that peace to your wife, to your children, to your parents, to your grandparents. You can bring that peace to everyone you meet every day. And you're either bringing peace or something else to other people when you sit down with them. The goal is to bring peace. And the Lord, you know, in his visit to the apostles in the upper room, you know, after his resurrection, the Lord said, "Peace be with you," several times, which is so important because he wants people to be at peace and to not live in fear or with anxiety. He wants them to have peace versus other things like depression and nervousness and jealousy and envy and selfishness and bitterness and hatred, lust, cynicism, anger, greed, pride, prejudice, and the superego. He wants you to have peace and bring that peace to other people. It can't be said enough because we're in a world who lacks peace today. There's always something going on. And when we have peace and put things to bed, this world would be a different place to live in. But if we all try and do our parts and bring the peace to others, the world will change one step at a time, one day at a time. And we can do that, but we have to pray for peace first within our own hearts, which is so important. And as we go through the show, I want to take a moment to thank Dale and Jane Meyer for their great work here at the radio station for many years. And also, I want to thank Frank Eliason for his great work in producing our show this morning and continuously for many years. Don't forget, my friends, we're here at Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. My name is Joe Montone, your host. This is Finding God in Prison, which is a great focus for men incarcerated, men who are paying the price for their crimes that they have committed, men who are given time out of their lives to make things right once again. And Finding God in Prison is a special name of our show because we've had more than 20-somewhat years of work within 8 prisons throughout Pennsylvania and New Jersey. And there's no coincidence, my friends. God has called me personally to do specialty work in uncomfortable areas. I call them uncomfortable areas because they're abrasive and sometimes very challenging to go into with men who are incarcerated, who have various types of attitudes and disciplines. And it requires a lot of strategy in handling people who are incarcerated or addicted to drugs and alcohol. And so we've had more than 20-some-odd years of working with incarcerated men, men on death row up at Greaterford Prison, and again, 8 prisons and more than 100 schools with the WINGS program, which stands for Winning Ideas, Nurturing Growth, and Success. But I tell you, I could never do this kind of work unless the grace of God was with me. And I thank God right now for his grace, for giving me the opportunity to touch the hearts and minds of inmates in prison and for those who are addicted to drugs and alcohol. And we've had so many men come through the program, thousands of men. And, you know, the stories are endless. Some of the most wonderful things and miracles that have taken place within our program have really inspired me to continue and to go on. And I just tell you, I'd like to share just one story with you. Many years ago, on a Friday night, we had about 50 men in the room, and one of the guys called me aside, and he said, you know, Mr. Montone, I have something I want to tell you, but can we go out in the hallway? And I said, sure, of course. What is it, my friend? And he said, you know, I have something I have to tell you. It's very important. I said, when I was 11 years old, I said, and I'm now 23. When I was 11, my father raped me. And I said to him, I said, you know, that's terrible. That's a terrible thing. And I said, I want to thank you for confiding in me and telling me that, you know, this occurred. I said, but... I said, has your father ever apologized to you? And he said, no, he has not. We've never talked about it. I haven't even seen him in several years. I said, well, that's terrible. I said, let me tell you something. I said, your father owes you an apology. I said, but you need to forgive your father because it's important. God calls us to forgive. And so, but your father owes you an apology. And so here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to write a letter. And you're going to write that letter. We'll edit it and make sure it's correct. I want you to write this letter extending an invitation to your father and inviting him to come visit you at the facility here in Philadelphia, and which was PIC, the Philadelphia Industrial Correctional Center. And that his father came to visit him, and during the visit, he apologized to his son, who was now 23 years old after 12 years. And by the way, he was a an Army veteran, had you know, been in the Army for several years. And so he apologized to his son during that visit, and that gave him closure to the situation that had occurred when he was 11 years old. And through the WINGS program, we were able to bring peace once again into the heart of that man, which is so important because, you know, unless he has peace for the rest of his life, he's going to be dwelling on the fact that his father raped him at 11 years old. He needed to have closure, and we were able to be used as a catalyst to make that happen. And to just tell you, that's the power of God's grace, allowing people to be involved in situations where there is no peace, but to bring the peace through a strategy for, you know, setting things right, making amends. And in this case, you know, the father truly owed an apology to his son. And with that, the son was able to forgive him, and which is very, very hard to do. And unless you forgive, you live with a spirit of bitterness for the rest of your life. So that was one special, special moment for me. When that gentleman confided in me, with 50 men in our room, he pulled me aside, asked me to speak to him, and that's the just the fruit of working closely with people and investing quality time in a loving and approachable, disciplined, you know, honest way, sincere way, and then people will confide. They will ask you to help. And we were able to rise to the occasion and to bring the peace once again to that father and son relationship, which is so important. And, you know, God is always there. Many years ago in that same facility on another Friday night, we had a very unique environment where the men would come up to the whiteboard and actually teach several minutes of the program. And this was towards the end of our program, which was a 20-session, 50-hour, 10-week program. And as the men came up one at a time for about anywhere from 2 to 4 minutes and would teach. You know, after several men came, I said, now, who's going to be next? And there was a gentleman to my left who was sitting back in his chair. He must have been about, I'd say, about 10 to 15 feet from me, sitting back in his chair. And I said, it's going to be you. And so I had a piece of chalk, white chalk, in my hand, because we had actually not whiteboards, but blackboards also. And I threw the chalk, and as I lobbed it to him, everybody was watching the chalk go from my fingertips over to his side of the room. And as the chalk had a little bit of an arc in it as I threw it, as he sat back, the chalk actually went right into his index finger and his thumb. And it just kind of pushed right into it, and it didn't fall at all. He got up out of the chair and started to walk over. And the whole front of the classroom who could see this jumped out of their chairs and said, did you see that? That's God. And there's no way that little piece of chalk could have, you know, hit him just right in the index finger and the thumb and not fall down. It could have gotten, you know, into any other part of his body or gone over his head. But God placed it right into his index finger and his thumb. And he got up and he taught for 2 to 4 minutes. But it was a powerful moment, a powerful witness that God was with us that night. And in the midst of 30 to 40, 50 guys that night, whatever we had no less than 30, and sometimes we would have 45 to 50. And it was amazing witness once again. So in doing the prison ministry, the incarceration work, you know, we have a lot of peace that we bring to our men. But without the peace, it's hard to do that work because you've got to really be calm, collected. You've got to have a strategy to proceed each and every day with these men who really need a lot of support. They're very needy inside and need a lot of guidance and direction. And so the WINGS program that we did in the Philadelphia prison system for 10 years that was halted because of COVID-19 truly was a blessing. You know, we went to 8 prisons, and the Philadelphia prison system had 3 that we went into, including the House of Corrections, CFCF, and also PIC. And those 3 facilities, you know, had thousands of men, but we spent a lot of time there. And I'll tell you that God opened my eyes as to the value of the WINGS program inside prison walls. And we also took that program into the courts and helped men in the courts to get reductions in time and early parole, work release, house arrest, changing men's lives by bringing them home early, by giving them a 50-hour program of substance. And so, you know, as we look at the prison system, there is great value without question in taking a proactive approach and going inside a facility and helping men to change their ways, to give them a plan of action, to bring them the love of God and new habit patterns, to try to get rid of the old and bring in the new. And these fundamentals are key to them making great changes when they come home. And the change begins inside. And this is important. For a lot of men, they actually have worship services and they find God inside. For many men, it takes even more than that. They have to go to solitary confinement for days, weeks, months, or even years before they find God. And that's important because God is the core at which all positive things begin. He is the core of all good things. And with that, we have opportunity to truly take those good attributes into our homes, our workplaces, into the communities as ex-offenders, and help to change things, you know. And we very often would use our men on the outside in schools, taking them to schools right here in Bucks County with the Falls Township Police Department escorting us, taking them into Pensbury High School, East and West, and the Morrisville High School, and the Center for Student Learning. These are special places where children have behavioral issues, and it's through our inmates going in there that we're able to help to open the eyes of our these students and get them to make changes before they end up in handcuffs and are incarcerated, or end up with huge prison sentences, or are overdosing on drugs or alcohol, or involved in car accidents, which is a lot of the background that our men actually have endured. And so I tell you this, my friends, because there's great value in the WINGS program. And, you know, it's not to be taken lightly. When God calls you to do an assignment or a mission, you must do it. And God is calling us to continue with our efforts, because there's great merit in helping people to make changes, both inside and outside prison walls. And today I have the opportunity to coach baseball with my grandson Dominic. And right there on the field, we have opportunity to mentor the kids. And not only teach him baseball, but to teach him right from wrong, to teach him honesty from dishonesty, respect from disrespect, sincerity from insincerity. And it's all important. And they're only, you know, anywhere from 5 to 8 years old, and they're beginning to learn how to proceed one day at a time as they interact with other students and other ball players. So this is a great opportunity, my friends, to be there with my grandson, but to also mentor young people before they end up in situations. And so coaching is something I've always enjoyed, and I invite you to become a great coach, a great mentor to your kids and grandkids, to their friends, and to other students who are now playing ball on the outside. Okay, we're coming up on half past the hour. My name is Joe Montone, your host. We're here at Holy Spirit Radio. I want to thank you for tuning in with us this morning. It is May 14th, and we're in the year 2021. It's a beautiful day in the month of May, the month of our Blessed Mother Mary, the month of truly a focus on the life issues, a focus on family life. Very, very important. And we just thank the Lord and our Blessed Mother Mary for the opportunity to be here at Holy Spirit Radio. We're going to transition now into our readings coming up this Sunday, May 16th, that are focused on the ascension of our Lord. And here we go. The first reading is from the book of Acts, Acts 1, verses 1 through 11. In the first book, Theophilus, I dealt with all that Jesus did and taught until the day he was taken up. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, he presented himself alive to them by many proofs after he had suffered, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While meeting with them, he enjoined them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, about which you have heard me speak. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. When they had gathered, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He answered them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has established by his own authority. But you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him from their sight. While they were looking intently at the sky as he was going, suddenly two men dressed in white garments stood beside him. They said, "Men of Galilee, why are you standing there looking at the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will return in the same way as you have seen him going into heaven." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And my friends, this is a powerful reading here today from the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, which is the focus. And in the reading, the Lord tells us, "I dealt with all that Jesus did and taught until the day he was taken up." Yes, the Lord was taken up, my friends. After the resurrection, you know, he preached for 40 days. After being put to death, 3 days later, he rises from the dead. And this we call Resurrection Day and Easter Sunday. And then he preaches for 40 days. And here at Theophilus, we hear, "I dealt with all that Jesus did and taught until the day he was taken up, the ascension of our Lord." It's very powerful. And here he's given instructions that through the Holy Spirit, you know, you will be given the power to do things. And this power of the Holy Spirit will come in 9 days after the ascension. But when the Holy Spirit comes, my friends, we want to listen and try to discern and understand, which requires patience and compassion and generosity. These gifts of the Holy Spirit, we need to listen to and then, you know, move forward to do what God calls us to do. And again, after appearing to the apostles and thousands of people for 40 days and speaking to them about the kingdom of God, he says, "In a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And you will receive the power coming from the Holy Spirit, and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth," which is so powerful. And this is what we're doing right here at Holy Spirit Radio, which is incredible, preaching the gospel. And the Lord tells us to do it, to be his witness till the ends of the earth. And when you're a witness for someone, my friends, in the courtroom, and you put your hand on the Bible, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God? When you do that as a witness, you want to be credible. When you're going into it, you want to be credible on the witness stand. As we witness for Jesus, the question I have for you, my friends, this morning is, are you and I credible? Are we credible or do we lack credibility? In the Wings program, we're always focused on helping people to be stable, credible, and to be role models. And the Lord calls us truly to be witnesses for him to the ends of the earth. And as we witness, people are looking at us to see if we're upholding that credibility. And we have to be careful in our words and actions and what we do, what we say, what we do. Are we giving the Lord a bad name? Are we giving the church a bad name? Are we giving our families a bad name by our words and actions? We have to be careful. And this is important. And it reminds me of Moses in the Old Testament, who gives us the word to be careful to observe all the commandments I enjoin on you today so you could live a life of increase. Okay? A life of increase where you're getting things from life. You're getting a family. You're getting a home. You're getting great work. You're getting the blessings of obedience. Versus living a life of decrease where you're losing things. You're losing your family through divorce. You're losing your work because of a lack of stability and credibility, a lack of discipline. You're losing your wife due to adultery. You're losing your home because you haven't paid your bills and you're foreclosed on your home. You're incarcerated because you have stolen money or burglarized a home. We want to be credible, stable witnesses for the Lord, role models. And every day we strive to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. We never get there, but we want to get closer to being perfect as witnesses for our Lord Jesus Christ. So no one can find blemish in what we say or what we do. Be careful about how we proceed as we have a drink, a beer or a glass of wine, that we're not totally, you know, drunk and off our feet in front of other people looking at our credibility. Because it's in those moments that we lose credibility and we have to be careful as witnesses for Christ. Very, very important that we do it right. And in the reading today, my friends, it says that the Lord was lifted up and a cloud took him from their sight. Imagine being witness to that, how that would help you to grow in faith, to see the Lord lifted up on a cloud and taken away, and to know that he's coming back in the same way. This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will return in the same way as you have seen him going to heaven. So we look forward to that moment when maybe we'll have that opportunity to see the Lord come down on the cloud and clean up this world, which is just filled with all kinds of problems and challenges and anti-godliness, all kinds of racism, pride and prejudice, envy, ego. We can't wait for the Lord to come back, my friends. It's going to be powerful, and we look forward to that day. I want to move into, my friends, our second reading, which is coming from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. And it's all about a reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. And here it is. Brothers and sisters, I, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to live in a manner worthy of your call you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another through love, striving to preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, one body and one spirit, as you were also called to the one hope of your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, he ascended on high and took prisoners captive. He gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended into the lower regions of the earth? The one who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles, others as prophets, others as evangelists, others as pastors and teachers, to equip the holy ones for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the extent of the full stature of Christ. The Word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And my friends, in the book of Ephesians today, we start out by seeing St. Paul reveal that I, Paul, was a prisoner for the Lord. Yes, for standing up for his faith, for his knowledge of Christ, for his giving witness. St. Paul went to prison several times. And this is a powerful thing. He gave it all for the Lord, as he was called to do, because remember, the Lord, through conversion, gave Paul a second chance, a new life. He didn't kill him. Although a persecutor of Christians, St. Paul was not taken down. The breath of life never left him. God gave him a second chance to go to work in ministry, and the St. Paul wrote 13 books of the Bible, was on the front lines, and did what he had to do for mankind. It was powerful. And St. Paul gives us a great message today, my friends, that he says, you know, live in a manner worthy of the call you have received. And the call you've received, my friends, when you receive it and you live it, you should have peace with it. And if you don't have peace in your state in life, then you have to make changes. You need to make a change in your life. It's very important. Some are called to the married life. Some are called to the single life. Some are called to religious life. What is your calling? Are you happy with it? If not, you need to make changes. Very important. And God calls us as men, that a man will leave his mother and father to join his wife. Are you living with a girlfriend? God calls us to marriage, to be fruitful and multiply. He calls us to create children in the context of a marriage. It's powerful. Or are we just moving through life, girlfriend after girlfriend after girlfriend? Are we moving through life, living two lives, married and having someone on the side, a whole lifestyle that no one knows about, through drinking and partying and possibly using drugs? Are we living two lives? What is your calling? Do you have peace with it? Are you living it to the fullest? Are you giving 100% to your marriage? God calls us to do it because he says, live in a manner worthy of the call you have received. And we have to do it, my friends, and God calls us to do it. And these gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to us, humility is so important, because no matter what state in life, if you don't have humility, it's going to be very difficult to apologize to someone. And in this life, you're going to need to do that, because we do make mistakes. It's going to be difficult to tell someone you love them, or to say, I'm sorry, thank you, or it's okay. Taking a gentle approach with children, so important, versus a hard line all the time to teach discipline. Sometimes we love, and sometimes we bring tough love to life. as we discipline our children. But we need to start with love, with a soft approach, gentleness, to be patient versus impatient, to have time and quality time with our families, with other friends, with our children, time to pray before a meal, time to pray before bed. The children want this. They need this. And it's up to you and I to deliver these things to them as parents and grandparents, to bring them to church, to hear the Word of God, to be in the environment within a church service and Holy Mass, to be amongst people who are worshiping our Lord Jesus Christ, to see this in action. And if we don't bring our children, they will miss the Holy Mass. They will miss the church service. It's up to us as parents and grandparents to make sure that this is done, that we are well rested the night before, that we are planning to go at a certain time and come in on time, dressed appropriately, not inappropriately, that we are not coming in late time and time and time again. And we can all be late, but we have to make an effort to be on time or to be early, to have peace with that, to give God more effort in the way we proceed. Very important. And as we deal with relationships, St. Paul says we should bear these through one another with love. To love one another, the second greatest commandment, St. Paul puts it into his message today, asking us to use that love to bear these relationships and to live by that code. You know, there's a difference between a house and a home. A house is a structure empty until love is brought into it and it becomes a home where people enjoy. They eat together. They live together. They sleep together. They have fun together. They read together. They talk together. Love is important in a home versus an unkind, harsh, an unloving environment where there's abuse, neglect, where there is no one there for children when they come home as elementary school children. And the mother truly is the heart of the home, and the father is truly the head of the home, and they work together to create a family that's loving for their children. Very, very important. And St. Paul says that we have one spirit and one body. And the Holy Spirit who lives within is very powerful. But we are one body in Christ as God lives within all of us. He says there's one Lord and one God and one Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And basically gives us that perspective that God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ and a Holy Spirit, three in one, but one God of all, who lives over all, through all and in all. He knows all things. It's very powerful. We acknowledge that in a society who tries to ignore God, wants to eliminate God. We will do our best, my friends, to stand up to bring God back into the lives of our people all over, in our schools, corporate America, our families, our homes, into the political world and into our communities. It's important. And St. Paul here helps us to see it clearly that there's one Lord, Jesus Christ, one God, one Father, the Father of all mankind, the Creator of heaven and earth. It's powerful. Over all, through all, and in all. And God's grace, he says, is given to us according to the measure of God's gift. And that's up to God, how he distributes his graces. But thank God for the grace that he gives us today, because without the grace of God, I wouldn't be here this morning. I wouldn't be here today and for many years. Without the grace of God, no good things can take place, because it's through God's grace that we have opportunities and are inspired to do good things. And all good things come through God. And it's powerful. So God's grace was given to us according to the measure of his gift, of God's gift. Very important. He goes on to talk about that some people, the Lord gave as apostles. We know the 12 apostles. Some as prophets, and there were many prophets. People who could foresee what was about to happen. People who could see the future. People who brought a message from God to the community. Time and time again. The prophet Isaiah. The prophet Jeremiah. And there were many prophets. And the Lord used them to lay the foundation, to bring the word, to bring the peace, to bring clarity and understanding of what's happening from God's standpoint. And what is about to happen is so important. And God prepares people in the history of the world for things to come through the prophets. Some are evangelists. They are inspired through the Holy Spirit to take a position on their faith and to evangelize, to be there on the front lines, to show others how to do it, to show others their faith, to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. They're evangelists. And then some are pastors, they're leaders of the flock, taking on churches and leading congregations, upholding the sacraments and trying to help people to move forward in their faith, to become more stable in their faith, more credible in their faith, to believe greater, to have stronger desire to come and witness themselves for Jesus Christ one day. And it's a process, it's a journey. But some are pastors. And there are many great pastors who are leaders. And then some are teachers. And continuously educate and motivate the flock from the pulpit and from one-on-one situations. They are teachers in high schools and elementary schools and colleges. They are teachers as broadcasters. And they are called to teach as the Lord taught. Very important. What is your calling? Some are apostles, some are prophets, some are evangelists, some are pastors, some are teachers. And it was all laid out that way to equip the holy ones for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood to the extent of the full stature of Christ. And it's powerful. I want to transition, my friends, to the Gospel of Mark right now. Mark 16, verses 15 to 20. And here it is. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus said to his disciples, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak new languages. They will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then the Lord Jesus, after he spoke to them, was taken up into heaven and took his seat at the right hand of God. But they went forth and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word through accompanying signs. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of Mark today, my friends, Jesus says to his disciples, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature." That's our calling right here at Holy Spirit Radio. We are commissioned by our Lord Jesus Christ. Through the Holy Spirit, we are given that mandate to go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. And we do it through the radio waves as an affiliate station to EWTN, the Eternal Word Television Network, who was founded by Mother Angelica. And it's powerful to be part of that mission. And it is a mission. And it's ongoing for 22 years now. And we acknowledge and thank God for the grace to be here to be part of it. Very important. And the Lord says, you know, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. So it's up to us. It's our decision to either believe or not believe. And to what extent we believe. And we want to look at it on a scale of 1 to 100. 100% are we sold out for the Lord? Are we believing 100% and are witnesses for Jesus? Or are we 50-50? We're not all in. I want you to think about that, whether or not you're all in. Because if we're not, we have work to do, changes to make. And it all starts right now, my friends. And the Lord said there will be signs which will accompany those who believe. They will drive out demons, speak new languages, pick up serpents with their hands. Drinking any deadly things, it will not harm them. Laying hands on the sick, and they will recover. So there will be signs, my friends, from people who believe. For they were given great gifts from the Lord. And we too, my friends, you and I, have opportunity to believe 100% and to be given those incredible gifts to heal the sick. And there's all kinds of ways to do it. You know, the Lord says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." We can comfort people. People who are depressed, we can comfort them. We can help them to rise up by bringing them the love of God, the word of God, the peace of God. We can help people who have anxiety, depression, and fears, and to help move them forward and get back into the game of life. But first, we have to have peace in our hearts, and we have to be able to move forward one day at a time in a positive way ourselves, become stable and credible and role models, witnesses for the Lord. And then we can help other people. We want to make sure our houses are in order before we leave our home and go to somebody's home and tell them to get their house in order. Our homes have to be in order, and the Lord calls us to do it. My friends, we're just out of time this morning. My name is Joe Montone, your host. We're here at Holy Spirit Radio. Once again, it's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. May I say God bless you, and I want to thank Dale and Jane again for giving me the privilege and opportunity to be here with you, and for Frank for producing our show. May God bless you. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. God bless.